music, but he just couldn't carry a note. But boy, when he was singing in church, everybody could hear him, you know, off key, but there he was. That's a lot of fun. I really enjoyed doing that. Thanks for coming up with that idea. Couple of things before we get started. First, you know, we did finish up the Energy Bus kind of tour, and if you did not get a ticket, or if you weren't here, or you want to know more about it, there are tickets in the back. It's an invitation ticket to ride the bus with us as we get set to move down to the Cedars. We want to keep the energy going, so we wanted you to sign the back of the ticket, put it in the offering plate back there, and then there's a positive pledge back there that many of us have signed, so that will help us with our attitudes as we get ready to move. We'll talk just a little bit about that, some things that have come up during the week. But before we get in to the message, why don't we go ahead and recite our memory verse for the month, if we have that up there. I think I forgot to put it on the outline there. So here we go. We're going to say the scripture reference, the verse, and then the reference, right? Here we go. John 5:20a, and we know that the Son of God has come, and he has given us understanding so that we can know the true God. 1 John 5:20a. Now, if you can remember that verse while we're talking this morning, you'll see that it actually melds rather nicely into the message. But so we have entered the Easter season, and Judy has already talked about that a little bit. This is, of course, that time before Easter, and we call those 6 weeks kind of before Easter, we call that Lent. Are you all familiar with that? And I'm not going to get into the big details of Lent, but basically it's a time really when the Catholic Church and other churches as well, they prepare for Christ's death and resurrection. So they take those 6 weeks as kind of this time of preparation through prayer, seeking forgiveness, being generous, putting away our selfish egos and supposedly concentrating more on God, which, by the way, all of that is something that we should be doing all the time. That should be an everyday thing, right? Not just 6 weeks. So Lent, as I said, it's kind of this 6-week process. And so within this time frame, and then, you know, right shortly after, right, we have the death and resurrection of Christ, which is huge. And, of course, we'll be talking about that for Easter. But I don't want to denigrate the 6 weeks of Lent. I think they can be kind of cool. But in my own life, as I look at my own life as a Christian, you know, I want to figure out how to live my life or our lives as a church living in Christ Jesus. Want to figure that out, which means I need to understand what's inside Scripture, right? And I need to understand what God's call is on my life or your life or what God's call is on the life of the church, the whole church, the greater church, which means in Christ, we need to put him on display. Somehow we need to display Christ out in the world. That is, we need to show others God. And we'll get into that in just a little bit. You know, during the Energy Bus series, we talked about being positive and energetic and enthusiastic and joyful as we move forward in faith, as we move down the street, as we get things rolling and stuff like that. To me, as we do all of that and we act that way, we are, as Christians, putting God on display. But there's more to it than just that. It's not complicated, right? I've talked about that. We try to complicate it. I mean, it's not complicated, but there's just more to that than displaying joy and rejoicing and being positive. Now, I knew it would start. By the way, just so I can bring you up to speed, we've already, you know, the tech guys have been over to the church, or the church, right? The Cedars, the Mission Center the other day, working on, okay, how do we set things up? How are we going to do this logistically and stuff? So we've already got people trying to get these things moving and get things rolling. I'm just really excited about it, excited for that first service. But as I said, I knew it would start, but once we decided to move or make the move, I knew that rumors would start floating around. And I'll be bold enough to say that Satan would start doing the usual. to get the church off track. Move us into the negative. Now, remember, our goal is always to display God. We need to show others God. And his role, that is Satan's role, is to thwart our efforts. Don't you think? That's kind of the way it works. We're supposed to show people God. Satan wants to stop us from doing that. So once somebody moves out in faith, I really believe this, once somebody moves out in faith, the attacks begin. Do you know that? Right? That's just how it works. Satan seems to come alive. Fact is, if a Christian remains idle, I'm talking about a Christian. If a Christian remains idle, Satan's work is done. Because there's no need to bother with mediocrity. Why would you bother with that? I want to go after the place that's moving out for Christ. I don't care about this person, whether they're a Christian or not, that just sits there and does nothing or is not moving out in faith. Who cares? My job is done there. Since last Sunday, rumors have been going around that Lebanon First Baptist is going bankrupt. Now, for those that have taken Econ 101 or who have any common sense, one does not go bankrupt when one has no debt or has well over $2 million in assets. Or has over $250,000 in cash. Yet, the gossip goes. Same week, someone claims that a nutcase from our church was running through an apartment complex screaming at people to get their truck off the church's lot, or they will be towed. Now, that was on Lebanon gossip, or I mean, Lebanon chatter. And from there, now I could care less about that because I knew that wasn't true. But from there, it goes to Christians that are unloving and uncaring and only Christians on Sunday. See, so that's where that lie takes you. And so a lie turned into Christians being bad people. Now, it's okay, isn't it? It's okay. I mean, I know this church well enough to know that we will help anybody and everybody when we are called upon, and that we will count it all joy when we face these things. At least I hope you will, and I hope you don't take it out of here and go, well, did you hear what Pastor Dave said about blah, 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 blah. This is the truth. This is stuff that happened this week. So, folks, as we transition, we need to keep all of that in mind, knowing that we are here to love, serve, care, no matter what is thrown in our direction. And we need to be the ones who are over and above gossip. Now, in the two instances I mentioned, two of the folks from our congregation shut down the gossip with wonderful statements. They took a positive road. That's what I want to see. Don't get in these arguments. Just take the positive road. They did it in a way that displayed God and not anger, right? Because if you hear somebody talking about your church, your first reaction is going to be, I'm going to take them out, right? They did it with loving action. And the one caption on Lebanon gossip, that was even taken down because of that those nice words. After 25 years in ministry, I've come to laugh at such things. Because the Bible tells us they will happen. It's nothing new. And it's always going to be there. We always have the victory in Jesus Christ. You know that, right? Amen. So as a church, a team working in unity with our Savior, we need to mimic people like Paul and Silas, who were beaten and thrown into prison, yet, right? And they could be awfully mad because of that, right? Yet, while in prison, they're singing hymns. And they're filled with joy. You know, some of you signed that positive pledge. It's really kind of cool if you read through it. But I read through it again because I thought, okay, how do I put that in perspective of what went on in the last week? Just those two little things. Well, the first, I just want to read three of them to you. It says, the first one says this: I pledge to be a positive person and positive influence on my family, friends, coworkers, and community. Then number three says, I vow to stay positive in the face of negativity. Paul and Silas, us, when maybe the church is persecuted. When I'm surrounded, this is the last one, number three, when I'm surrounded by pessimism, I will choose optimism. Folks, we have the victory all the time, no matter what people say. I absolutely love 1 Thessalonians 6, 16 through 18. Do we have that on the screen? Hey, there we go. We're going to read this together. This talks about God's will for us. This is God's will for us. Here we go. See to it that no one repays evil for evil to anyone, but always pursue what is good for one another and for all. Rejoice always. Pray constantly. Give thanks in everything, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Is that not cool or what? Thank you, Lord, for the trials that come our way. And we can face those. We can face those trials. God is good. So that's His will for us, right? Pray constantly. Give thanks in everything. And you know, we talked about serving and caring and loving. Those are all things that God would like us to do. So what? So we can display Jesus Christ to people out in the world. And so if we want to put God on display, we rejoice, we pray, and we give thanks. And that must be who we are. If we are not that, we're serving someone else. Most likely, I'm not going to say that's Satan, but most likely that's ourself. So let's talk about putting God on display for a bit, because in this season we call Easter or Lent, our goal is to make sure that God is seen. So one of the questions we ask in our staff meeting is, how have you seen God today? How have you seen God today? Another question might be, how have you personally displayed God today? Could you imagine going into a meeting, business meeting, and the guy comes out or gal comes out and says, hey, how have you displayed God today or yesterday? Well, we're used to, how was your day today? Or did you have a good day today? The answers are one word: good, bad, yes or no, right? So, how have you personally displayed God today? Yes. No. That's not what I ask. I didn't ask, did you? How? Oh, well, I sent my buddy an encouraging word about his upcoming job interview. That's it. You see, it's that simple. We think it has to be something profound. I prayed over a blind guy and he was healed. Right? That's putting God on display. It is. Right? But so is sending an encouraging word to a friend. Now, I'm not talking about bragging about what we do, but I do think we need to think about and act on how we can put God on display every day. So as bosses and teachers and coaches and pastors and moms and dads and kids and workers, all who love Jesus, we need to bring that attitude of displaying Jesus everywhere we go. Pastor Tim said something interesting to this guy he was talking about. What's it going to take? See, God's being displayed over at the Cedars. What else is it going to, what's it going to take for you to be part of the church again? You know, in our Bible study on Wednesday night, we've been walking a bit through the book of Acts, in Acts chapter 17. And for those that come to the Bible study, forgive me because I'm going to repeat some of this stuff. But in Acts 17, the Apostle Paul was speaking in front of the Areopagus, which is was the Supreme Court of the day. And he was introducing them to the unknown God whom they had erected a stone to. And they would worship that God just like they'd worship any other God. And as one looked over the entire area, it was on video, so as one looked over the entire area of where the Apostle Paul was, you could see all these temples created for these gods, Zeus, Athena, and gods all over the place, and temples all over. And here's this little stone kind of thing to the unknown God. All of that made by hands, stones, figures, all worshipped by people. And so these gods supposedly actually lived in those temples and could be worshipped there. But Paul, he argues that the unknown God does not live in temples made by human hands. In fact, he doesn't need anything from us humans. God just really doesn't need anything from us. Rather, it's he who gives everything and he who gives everyone life. And so he has gifted us. God displayed himself then, Paul tells them, by the man whom God appointed. God displayed himself in his son, Jesus. So God was on display, even as one of us, as a human being. Paul's mission, of course, was to display God to the Gentiles and do so through preaching and teaching and praying faithfully, living through trials, loving, caring, and sharing for and with people. And he had the ability to know his audience. That's what I liked about the Apostle Paul. Connect with people in their culture. He knew about their culture. He understood their culture. He was even able to quote their philosophers. Yet, he taught that there was a better way, and he taught in a language in which those folks could understand and wanted to hear more. You know, I've mentioned this before, but when I first entered seminary, I had no clue what anyone was talking about. And I came with a college degree, business experience. Remember, I was also a professional petroleum excretionist, which just means I stood at the gas pump and pumped gas in the 70s. But I jumped in head first with others who had their four-year Bible degree stuff in Christian education. And so when I got to the classroom, the big classroom where there's, you know, 100 and some people, and, right, you're afraid to ask questions, right, because you're going to look like the dingling. But what was displayed in class to me was knowledge. How much knowledge everyone had. All the big words. I thought at the time words that Jesus wouldn't be able to decipher or figure out on his own unless he used a dictionary. And really, they were words that Jesus never used. They were words that we made up to describe what Jesus was talking about or what maybe Scripture was talking about. It was a consortium of folks, of people who wanted to, some of them wanted to show off their smarts and a big vocabulary, while I, with the dunce cap in the corner, searched through the dictionary for every word. And then when it came to preaching class, I thought, wow. Everyone used all these elevated words. Again, words I didn't understand. I didn't grow up hearing in church because the pastor spoke to me and not the intelligentsia, right? So the whole time I'm thinking, where is Sven and Ole in all of this? You know, I need to go back to Minnesota and sit down for a while. Wanted to be normal. What I learned through all of that training was that I needed to strive to display God and not how much knowledge and big words I could use, because I learned them. because I'm rather useless if I'm not understood. And Paul knew that as well. In fact, Jesus was and is my favorite teacher and preacher, and his stories are awesome. Not just the whole Bible's awesome, but when Jesus talks and when Jesus tells some stories, they are unbelievable, full of lessons. And those stories that he tells displays God, his Father. It displays who he is as the Prince of Peace. And you know, as smart and as knowledgeable as the Apostle Paul was, he knew how to display God to people in such a way that there was understanding. I mean, he could talk with the top dogs, the Sadducees, the Pharisees. He could deal with all those guys. Yet then he could bring it right down to Dave Wright's level so that there could be some understanding. He was tough when he needed to be. He knew all those big words, highly educated in the Old Testament. Yet he did not debate for the sake of debating. Our goal, as was Paul's, was to win souls, not arguments. If we're constantly out there trying to win arguments, it's really not going to win a whole lot of souls. We need to love, to care, and share. You know, he provided proof for his faith, which we're supposed to do as well, scripturally, in order to sway hearts and minds over to Jesus Christ. And one of Paul's messages is that God is not displayed with golden calves and all those buildings and statues. God is not displayed there. God is displayed in us who have now become the temple because of Christ. And those who believe are those who serve and care and love and sacrifice as Jesus did. They display God. The thing about displaying Jesus, God, and the Holy Spirit, many times we're on the wrong side of the whip, right? I mean, we can do so many good things, so many wonderful things that are Christ-centered, and we'll be whipped for it. Could be a tongue lashing. Could be somebody getting angry. It could be whatever. For the Apostle Paul was actually physically being whipped. For the disciples, many of them were killed. For their faith. Many in other countries, same thing, live through the same thing today. Much worse than what we have. You know, Jesus had some great stories about God being on display, and from now until Easter, we're going to look into some of those stories and asking the question, how are we displaying God? I want you to think about that over the next several weeks, all the way till you get to Easter. How did I display God this week? Well, not to pump yourself up, but just how am I living for God? What did I do this week that displayed God to someone? Pastor Tim's been doing a Bible study on the prodigal son, and it's quite interesting if you listen to it, because you know, you see how things are displayed in that story. The older brother, the younger brother, the family. And you also see how God is displayed in that story. So I'd argue, are you finished up with that yet? You got one more. Jump in tonight. And finish up with him tonight, because I think this is really good stuff. You really need to check that stuff out. We'll take maybe a little glimpse of it as we go forward. But the question for us, and I want to leave you with again, is this. How well do we as a people display God? How well? What is it that we're doing that displays God? Would you join me in a word of prayer? Lord Jesus, we know your will for us is to pray and, you know, love, share, care, and rejoice, and, you know, live a life that is worthy of your calling. And so we ask for that today. I just pray a special blessing upon each person that is here. Those that believe in you, would you help us to really display you every day and knowing, of course, we're going to mess it up. So we, you know, we know that there's forgiveness in you. But would you help us to focus on that as we get ready for some big things to happen in our church? There'll be a lot of stuff thrown our way. Help us to stay positive amidst the negative. Help us to always just look to you. We thank you for dying on that cross, rising again, so that we can live in this day and age where we do get to display you. So many people don't know you, so what an opportunity for us to shine. Will you help us to do that? Would you lead the way? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.